This, I think, is really the core of Solon's genius and the importance of his legacy to the rest of Athenian history. And yet it's not limited to that. There are other legal and economic reforms that go with the changes we've already outlined. I sometimes wonder how Solon in that year managed to get any sleep, because we have a kind of program of reform that we would be happy to see take place over a decade, and yet it's here being punched through in a single year. Taking advantage of this authority that he has, this archonship in 594, he introduced a slew of new laws which were designed to help the Athenian economy and to encourage its prosperity. So, for example, he banned the export of all agricultural produce with the single exception of olive oil. Now, what on earth does that mean, you might ask? Athens was believed in antiquity. It's something of an exaggeration, but it was widely believed that it was not fertile at all. It is true that for much of its history, the population of Athens was so great that the Athenians could not feed themselves with their own grain. And so they often imported grain from other parts of the world. It appears as if Solon was trying to address that perceived shortcoming by saying, no grain can be exported, we must grow enough for ourselves. Never entirely successful, but nevertheless that was his intention. The only thing that could be grown for export was olive oil, and Athenian olive oil was prized in antiquity as it is still today. And so there was a combination here of a desire to keep enough land so that the Athenians could feed themselves and have a single, well-defined crop that would be designed for international trade. He did give, in fact, citizenship to foreign craftsmen who came to Athens to live. By doing so, he was clearly trying to also bolster the manufacturing sector of the Athenian economy. So we see him paying attention to the agricultural sector and to manufacturing as well. Normally, in most states, if a foreigner moved to a new place, they would be given status as a resident alien, and in later Athenian history that would certainly be the case as well. But by actually granting them citizenship, he's encouraging them to come to Athens, to bring their skills with them and to contribute to the growth of the Athenian economy. It's fairly clear that he had these kinds of reforms in mind with a view to increasing prosperity, because we see another change which only makes sense with that interpretation. And that is, there were various systems of weights and measures around the Aegean world. The Athenians had one of their own, but under Solon they ditched this system and actually transferred to the Euboean system of weights and measures, which was much more widely used. Now, we know from more recent examples, one can think of, say, Germany in the 18th and 19th century, that to have very different systems of weights and measures inhibits the economy, because it means that there has to be a transfer every time goods are moved from one place to another as they're measured by a new system. If you go with a system which is internationally used, you share in the prosperity of that trade as it circulates. Why the greenback is so popular around the world, for the same reason. This is a strong economy, its currency is good. And then in one other final area that I want to mention, that of a legal reform, he formalized the distinction between public and private law at Athens. And again, this is something that we take absolutely for granted. There are certain mechanisms whereby you may take your neighbour to court, and these are very different from the mechanisms by which, for example, a president might be impeached. These kinds of distinctions don't simply happen overnight. They happen because at some point a legal reformer recognizes the need to codify the law. All right, I think what we can say when we pull all this together is that we do have a genuine revolution in 594 with Solon. And yet we have to be very careful in the way that we understand this revolution. In terms of the economic crisis that was afflicting Athens, it was a moderate revolution. He did not redistribute land. So it was one that was designed to tackle the effects of an iniquitous system, but not to dislocate the economy as it attempted to reform. In some ways, he puts me in mind of what's happening in Russia right now, as that country is trying to work out the dilemma of how radical its reforms should be. And, of course, there is a good argument to be made for Solon or for Russia right now that the more vigorous the reform, the more dreadful its effects would be on the people who have to suffer right now. So you can see why there would be an inclination towards moderation.